God is here, and as God's people, let us gather together for prayer and praise as we sing our gathering hymn number 409, verses 1 through 3. Welcome you to Covenant Presbyterian Church. This is a Sunday that we celebrate the baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we're also going to ordain and install our elders, so it promises to be a meaningful and a joyful and a wonderful worship service, which will continue in the fellowship hall. Immediately following this service, we will have a lasagna luncheon. It's prepared for us by our high schoolers, and I bet you guys have something you want to say. Am I right? <Come on. laughs> Oh, you are bad.
$4 to 12, it is $5, and for anyone under 4, it's free. So y'all come on down and get yourselves some lasagna.
Ooh, That is truly the very breath of life. Speaking as someone who grew up on that. We do welcome you here. If you are visitors, we especially welcome you, and we'd like to get to know you better. So we're asking that you participate in the signing of those friendship pads, which are located at each one of the ends of the pews. If you take those pads out, fill out the information, and when the pad makes its way back to you, take a minute to note the names of the people you're seated beside so that you can greet one another following the service, perhaps over a plate of lasagna, to get that in again. We do have a number of important announcements, and if you'd like to keep up with what's happening in the life of this congregation, which seems to go at almost a breakneck speed, I would advise you to, on Fridays, get on your computer and access the Covenanter, the newsletter, online, or Sunday mornings, pick up a hard copy in the narthex, and there you'll find just about everything that's happening. Are there announcements that you would like to, oh my gosh.
Okay. Good morning. I want to talk about another gathering that's going to happen next Saturday, right in this fellowship hall. Basically, it's another feast, but it's not like the feast we're having today, which will be totally delicious today. This feast will be... next Saturday at our feast distribution, which basically is we're going to unload a truck full of items from the food pantry to our neighbors. So we'll have 200 neighbors sitting in this very sanctuary next Saturday. So I encourage everyone, if you haven't done this before, it's a great ministry. We get to do, if you want to do registration, you can sign them up. You can help unload a truck, which we unload. Unpack, count, recounts, unpack or bag stuff and deliver it, lots of pounds of food to our neighbors. And I also want to mention our cart ministry, our shopping cart ministry. If y'all see, there's a bunch of carts in the corner over here. Basically, it's to help our, we take the food out to the our neighbors when we distribute the food. So I know a lot of you are on the struggle bus with looking at that, and it's kind of, you know, not really pretty, but what it does, it really helps our neighbors. And I'd like you to imagine, if you would, when you walk past those, when you go into the lasagna lunch today, is just picture Jesus taking that little cart out to one of our little elderly neighbors. So just envision that. So don't look at the cart as an ugly thing. Look at it as a positive thing. Okay? And I also want to mention that this distribution is going to start every third Saturday this year, so we appreciate all your help if you can come out and help us. It's a really great ministry. What Covenant is one of the best people or places around to see this done. Thank you so much. Also, sorry, one more thing. We have a medical mobile clinic that's going to happen like during this time, so there'll be a little table set up there, so if you're interested in knowing more about that, please come. I think they arrive around 9:30, so again, it's a great ministry. Please come out and help us. Thank you.
Food seems to be the theme for the day. Some of you may know that Covenant has an emergency food pantry. This is in partnership with the food bank, which you might be aware of because of the feast, but also because of the Feed My Sheep, where you bring in food that the food bank needs, and we supply the food bank. So Covenant also operates an emergency food pantry. We are operating that on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays from 1 to 4. So we need volunteers that are willing to help distribute that food when people come asking for it. There's a sign-up sheet in the narthex that you can sign up and you put your email address. Some of you have already gotten emails about it. But if you will just think thoughtfully about that, if you are still working, but perhaps you have a flexible job or you have a part-time job, even if you can just do one day a month, that's 3 hours, or you could split a three-hour shift with two other people, and then it's just an hour. But we really could use your help. Gary and Wetherington and the church staff have been having the burden, well, it's not really a burden, I guess, but having that load on them to do, and it's been really difficult for them. So we're having a training session, too, this coming Friday, just to learn a little bit more about some of the requirements for food distribution, and then also how best to interact with neighbors coming in and asking for food. So appreciate you giving thoughtful consideration to helping out with that. Thank you.
Other announcements?
There's been a bit of a change of time. I am to announce meeting on now February 2nd instead of after the lasagna lunch of the Climate Crisis Working Group. That is a new group formed in this church of those who are very much concerned with climate change. If I have to relate it to food, actually, the increase in carbon in the atmosphere is putting a lot of stress on the oceans. I'm very much, if you like seafood, there may be a problem with that in the future. But also, agriculture is hit by increasing frequencies of droughts and so on. But anyway, the purpose of this is to gather resources so we can educate people on how we might eventually we need to take action now, so it's all about all these things, and all of you are welcome to have your own input in how we proceed with all this. So again, this will be on on February 2nd, about 12:30, and there'll be a light lunch available as well. Thank you.
Good morning. The last Sunday in this month, January 26th, 2 weeks from today, Interfaith Hospitality Network, now known as Family Promise. Family Promise is going to have a training session here for every one of us. This is a training session to bring us up to date on changes in the program over the last couple of years. We need to be retrained because there are changes. But also, I'm inviting everyone here, if you've never heard of Family Promise Interfaith Hospitality Network, come. It is a program that gets people off the streets and into houses. Please come. We are going to have a meal. Phil Hale is going to barbecue and we'll eat. And so there is a sign-up sheet out on the board. It says Family Promise. But please come and sign up and say, we want some pork. Come and sign up and go to the training. Please, please, please. Thank you. There is a second one. Speaking of Interfaith Hospitality Network Family Promise, we are going to be hosting again. Jim and Jerry Bowden are going to be the lead coordinators, but we're going to have three families come here and stay with us starting the second weekend in February, the 9th of February, and there is a sign-up board out in the hallway for that, and we need volunteers, so thank you.
Those of you who have been watching the news and have heard of the earthquakes in Puerto Rico, I thought I'd give you a brief update on the mission trip scheduled for March. We have 14 Covenant members who have committed to the 10 days in Puerto Rico. Our mission site is actually in the central region, and there was no damage there or much in San Juan or at the airport, so the mission is on. We will keep track of when they get power back, but just a real appreciation for both the need there and the response by Covenant. 14 people to commit to go on this mission trip. We'll keep everybody updated on as we get closer.
For those of you who are visiting, we have a lovely gesture of hospitality. There's bread available for you in the breezeway. supplied by the Andrew Ministry. I was just continuing the food emphasis. It seems to be a thematic issue here. And now I'd like to invite Jim forward.
Well, I am pleased to introduce Davin Welter this morning to the congregation. He's already known by many members of the church because for the past 6 years he has served as the executive director of Family Promise, which has already been indicated, formerly IHN. Family Promise began as IHN in Athens in the year 2004. And since that time, as a member of Millage Avenue Baptist Church, Davin has been an active volunteer when they have hosted homeless families in that church. And so, it's a pleasure to welcome Davin this morning as not only an active volunteer, but also as our executive director. And he will summarize the ministry or the service of Family Promise this morning as part of our Minute for Mission. Davin, please come forward.
Thank you, Jim. The hymn that we sung earlier today had the line, "Hear the servants of the servant." And clearly by the announcements that you have had today, each of you are clearly servants. And I want to say thank you for that. Thank you for the work that you are doing. It is extremely important to this community. And you reach in many different ways into this community to provide service. There is tremendous need that is here. Both Randy and Jim have mentioned our name change. So we have changed from Interfaith Hospitality Network to Family Promise of Athens. We have done this because our national organization changed their name several years ago when we've been one of the holdouts. Like most of us, don't like change, and so this has been a little bit of a difficulty for us, but everything remains the same. So there are benefits for us to change our name. Our national organization, which there are 207 affiliates across the country, they're doing a lot more marketing, brand awareness, and so that should help us. Also, folks that are moving into Athens, as we know, Athens is a relatively transient community, and so folks moving into Athens will be able to recognize our organization better. And then last, there are also some fundraising opportunities. For example, Belk has done a lot of work with the national affiliate, and so it helps the national affiliate to create those fundraising opportunities for us. So that's the purpose of the name change, even though our mission has remained the same and continues to be the same. In talking about that mission, our goal is to provide housing, to provide food, to provide transportation to families who are experiencing homelessness. Our families come to us in a number of different ways. We work very closely with Katie Wheeler at the school district. She's our homeless liaison for the school district. She identifies families for us. Our congregations will send families to us. Our families that have gone through the program also will refer families to us. And so we serve these families so that they have a safe place, so that they have shelter over their heads, so that they have food in their belly and they have transportation. And this is all done because of you and other congregations in the community. We've got about 40 congregations that serve with us. And we are very, very grateful for that. Let me give you just two stories, if I can, that kind of talk about the work that we do and why we do this work. I have two nephews that are here in town that go to Barrow Elementary School. One is in the fourth grade. He is very active in sports, is a very smart kid. He could probably be a little more well-mannered, but we're working on that. But I was, we had a family that was coming to us from Walton County, and I was driving that family back and forth, as a number of other volunteers did, so that we would not disrupt this fourth grader. And also, while the federal government through McKinney-Vento provides a requirement that transportation is, that school systems provide transportation even to homeless families so that families don't have to move, it was going to be unburdensome. This family was going to have to wake up at 4:30 in the morning to meet the school bus that would then travel to the county line. So we made the decision to provide transportation back and forth to this family in Walton County. Anyway, I say all that because I got to know this family pretty well and got to know this fourth grader pretty well. And, you know, he was no different than my nephew who is in the fourth grade. He loved sports. He told me, he said, when I'm in the NBA playing basketball, I'm going to invite you to sit on the front seat of the court. And I was like, that'd be fantastic. I'd love that. So he loved sports. We talked about his classes. I mean, clearly an intelligent child, a very bright child. And, you know, we talked about many of his different classes, what he was learning, fractions, that sort of thing. And it just occurred to me how important it is for this child to have the same opportunities that my nephew has got so that they can reach their full potential. And so the work that you're doing by driving the van, by providing a meal, by spending the night in the congregation, that allows this family the opportunity to then find permanent housing and hopefully to give this child every opportunity that my nephew also has. And so that opportunity is very important. And I see this, I mean, this kid was one of those kids that, you know he's going to change the world or has the opportunity to do that. So that, I think, is one story as to why we do what we do. The second story, and I've told this story several times, but it just was very impactful to me. I have a friend who is one of the assistant principals at one of our local elementary schools here, and she is a seasoned veteran. This is not her first rodeo as far as education is concerned. She's seen many difficult children and difficult cases, and I happened to be going to the school to pay for that after-school program and ran into her, and she said, "This particular child is a handful. I don't know what to do with him. He is failing in his classes. He is disruptive. He's just very challenging." And so, you know, it's one of those things that he's in our program, and while we try to surround kids with love and warmth, it is still disruptive to have to move every single week and to not be in your own home. Fortunately, this family was one of our great success stories. They were able to work with the Athens Land Trust and got a lease-to-own program. The family moved into their own house, and I saw the assistant principal several weeks later, and she told me, she said, "You are not going to believe this kid. I mean, he's completely different. He is well-behaved. He is on point as far as his academics are concerned. I mean, he's a completely different child." And so to me, that just showed the example of why we do what we do. You know, we are doing this so that we can provide permanent housing that truly makes a difference in a child's life. And that just demonstrated that particular case. And this is all possible, again, because of the work that you do. So we do this work to impact the children, to impact the families that are experiencing homelessness. But I also think we do this work to impact you as well. As Jim said, I've been a volunteer since 2004 at Millage Avenue Baptist Church, and I understand how you can get burnout as a volunteer. And sometimes you feel like you're the only person that's being called upon. And I just remember before I took this position 4 years ago, I remember having the feeling that our volunteer coordinator was calling me and saying, "Hey, can you spend the night?" And I'm like, "Do I have to spend the night again?" And somebody put it in perspective to me, and that perspective was, All we're asking is for you to spend the night four times out of the year, and you can help solve homelessness in this community. And that put that in perspective, but it also then reminded me that by spending the night four times out of the year, by having to go through the discomfort of sleeping on those rollaway cots, it reminds me of how much I appreciate my own bed and how grateful I need to be of the roof that is over my head. And I think we all need to be reminded of those things, that A, we can truly make a difference with only a couple of hours of the week. And that B, we need to be more grateful. And even though we are grateful, we need to be reminded of the gifts that we have gotten and the prosperity that we have. And so I think this is definitely beneficial for our families. I know that for a fact. And I also think it's beneficial for us. So I say that I'll be here for lunch today. So if you've got any questions, you've got any concerns, feel free to come up and grab me and ask me. But again, I want to say thank you to this congregation because you are one of our stalwarts, one of our originals, and we're very grateful. So thank you.
Please join me in our call to worship. The voice of the Lord is over the waters.
The God of glory thunders.
The Lord over the mighty waters.
The voice of the Lord is powerful.
The voice of the Lord is full of majesty.
As we prepare ourselves to sing our opening hymn, I am wondering if River might come forward. This morning in Sunday school, River did a magnificent job leading us in this hymn, and Betsy was simply incredible. I think the combination of the two would be lovely. What do you think? You want to be here? Yeah? Mm-hmm. Or do you want to be down by Miss Betsy? Please.
Thank you.
Today we celebrate the baptism of Jesus of Nazareth. God says, look, see my chosen servant, the one in whom I utterly delight. I have placed my spirit on him. He will bring true justice to the nations. This morning, let us confess our reluctance to embrace the new life God offers us in our baptism. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Merciful God, in baptism you promise forgiveness and new life, making us part of the body of Christ. We confess that we remain preoccupied with ourselves, separated from sisters and brothers in Christ. We cling to destructive habits, hold grudges, and show a reluctance to welcome one another. We allow the past to hold us hostage. In your loving kindness, have mercy on us and free us from sin. Remind us of the promises you make in baptism, so that we may rise to new life and live together in grace. Hear the promises of baptism. God says to us, I will lead you by ways you have not known. Along unfamiliar paths, I will guide you. I will turn the darkness into light before you and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake you. Friends, believe the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven.
I want to invite our children here who are here to come forward and join us. Let's spend some time together. Paige, is bring your shoes.
And your doll.
And your doll. And if you have gifts that might go to support our local food pantry, you can bring those to that fishbowl, just like you did. But Paige is going to read a story for us.
Good morning, ladies. How are you this morning? This morning I'm going to read a scripture from Isaiah. It is chapter 42, verses 5 through 7. Please listen for the word of the Lord. God created the heavens and stretched them out. He fashioned the earth and all that lives there. He gave life and breath to all its people. And now the Lord God says to his servant, I, the Lord, have called you and given you power to see that justice is done on earth. Through you, I will make a covenant with all peoples. Through you, I will bring light to the nations. You will open the eyes of the blind and set free those who sit in dark prisons. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I'm so glad to see you. How are you? Okay, so I haven't had a chance to really ask you this since Christmas, but did you get anything you really liked? Did you? What'd you get? What were some of your gifts?
I got a dollhouse that I really like.
A dollhouse. Oh, how wonderful. We've been talking about housing today. I've been hearing about that. Dolls need housing, too. too, right? All right. What about? Wait, you got a new sleeping bag? What color? Red and black sleeping bag. Sleepy dogs. That's wonderful. That sounds really cozy and comfortable. I was listening to the passage from Isaiah that Paige was reading, and I think I heard about a gift that I probably don't think about nearly enough, but it's one every single one of us is enjoying right now, whether we think about it or not. Do this with me. Go. Do that again. There you go. Breathe in, breathe out. God gives us breath, right? Sometimes, most of the time, I don't even think about that. It just happens. But it's so important because we need to breathe to stay alive. And that's something that God gives us every single day. So, just a little reminder as we play with our dollhouse, as we zip up in our sleeping bag and get tired and sleepy and get ready to go to sleep. Remember, just go, thank you, God, for breath, for waking each of us today, waking us from our sleep, filling our lungs with good air, and letting us live so that we can have fun and love each other and love our neighbors too. All right? Good gifts from God. Let's sing together.
We make promises, particularly promises to raise our children in the faith, hoping that one day they will come to scoop up those very promises that we as adults made for them. And one of the ways we teach young people how to become people of faith is to pray. They need to hear that there are people that you care about, situations that matter to you, and that you are willing to offer those up in the hopes that others will join you, but in the assurance that God certainly will hear and God will respond in God's own way and in God's own time. If you go into our covenanter, you will note that we have prayer concerns and several new ones have been added. So I give them to you for your attention. But are there others that you would like to add so that this community can pray for you and your loved ones this week? Linda?
I have a celebration. 4 weeks ago, I shared that my sister unexpectedly lost her job and asked for prayers. I am very happy to report that she found a new job. She starts this week, and it is a win-win situation for both her and the company. She brings a lot of expertise and experience to a company that needs that. In turn, she will be learning a number of wonderful things. Thank you for your prayer.
So Linda's sister found employment, and it sounds like a wonderful growing situation for both her and the company. That is a win-win. Tamara? For Tamara's daughter's mother-in-law, who has been diagnosed with throat and jaw cancer. Stand and share. Wow, two birthdays? Now that's wonderful. Are you gonna disclose how old your mother will be?
Oh,
all right. Other joys and concerns? Those are worrisome, those retina operations. Other joys and concerns? Let us pray. This morning we are going to pray a bidding prayer, which means that I will offer the line, Lord, in your mercy, and in response you'll say to me, hear our prayer. So celebrating the coming of the one who brings the reign of God to all people, let us pray for the world God loves, the church God calls, and the people according to their needs. God of light and darkness, through water and word, you shine your light into the darkness of our lives. We give you thanks for this incredible gift. Lord, in your mercy, God of love and hate, your love comes in spite of our animosity. You bring reconciliation to those who are divided. We pray for better relations between our country and our global neighbors. Strengthen us to be peacemakers. Lord, in your mercy, God of hope and fear, you walk with us through the challenges which surround us. Wash away our anxiety by your promised presence and set us free from despair. Lord, in your mercy, God of church and world, in baptism you unify yourself with our world and bring your reign into being. Keep us from seeing your love as a hiding place. Motivate us to infuse the world with your justice. Lord, in your mercy, God of health and illness, there is nothing that separates us from your love. Inspire us to bring your health to the sick, your encouragement to the discouraged, your promise to the dying, especially those we name in our hearts before you now. Lord, in your mercy, God of life and death, all that exists is from you and for you. Enable us to trust your baptismal promise and serve this hurting world. Lord, in your mercy, God who shines in the darkness,
Receive our prayers and the prayers of our hearts in the name of the one who is your light, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our second reading this day is from Matthew's Gospel, the end of the third chapter. Again, I invite us to listen together for God's word to us. And then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered, Let it be so now, for it's proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. And then John consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. This is the word of God for you, the people of God. So, Davin, we use that passage today for you coming from Millage Avenue Baptist. It's a way of reminding ourselves that you all got baptism right the first time. Full immersion. But one of the things that I really, really do love about this text and about John the Baptizer in particular is his honesty. Now, John's tact and diplomacy skills could probably use some polish. He's the one who's not reluctant to call people snakes. But clearly, he has no trouble speaking his mind. Meaning, ain't no cat got this cat's tongue. This year, we're going to be spending a good bit of time listening to Matthew's version of the Jesus story. That's year A for all of you lectionary nerds out there. A little later on in Matthew, though, there's this incredible moment where we meet up again with John. Only this time he's locked up in jail for speaking God's truth. Just one of those little gospel reminders that there are consequences that come with speaking and living the truth in this world. And at this moment in the story, John is frustrated and he's despairing because he was expecting more from Jesus. He was expecting bigger and better changes in the world than what he was seeing up until that moment. And so he sends a message through the bars via his own disciples, and he asks one of the most poignant, honest questions, I think, in all of Scripture. And he says, hey, cuz, are you really the one we were expecting? Or should we be looking for another? And we get it, right? Sometimes John's question is our question too. We want this world to stop burning and we want it to stop bombing. And we want justice and peace to prevail, and we want to be free from all of our sin and all of our fear and know it. We want all of that, and we want it to happen now. So what's up, Jesus? Are you going to come and do something for us or not? Are you the one we were expecting? Should we wait and look for another? I think today's story is another case in point. Today we're at the beginning, the very beginning of Jesus' public ministry. The day Jesus really comes out, or more precisely, the day when the Holy Parent outs the true identity of the Son, who up until now has been living incognito, just plugging along with the rest of us, just another face in the crowd of those waiting in line to be baptized by John. And somehow John seems to recognize who Jesus is, even before God's voice and God's Spirit reveal the secret. In Luke's story, John was capable of this even in utero, since apparently he did a little happy dance in Elizabeth's womb when pregnant Mary showed up for a visit. I don't know how that worked, except that John was, from day one, super perceptive about the presence of Emmanuel in this world. Which is probably why John balks at baptizing cousin Jesus. John figures that, well, now the Messiah has come, and so his work, John's work, is done. He's finished. Jesus can now take over, making the world right with God. And so with his arms dripping wet, he catches his breath, he wipes his brow, and he says, I think what any of us might instinctively have said if we were there at that moment, wait a minute. I'm not going to be baptizing you. You need to be baptizing me. Because that's how it works, right? God is the fixer. God makes, we take. God passes out the blessings, and on our good, grace-filled days, we receive them. God in Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is the one who makes new life possible, not us. It's God in Jesus who washes away our sins, heals us, makes us strong in our broken places. It's God in Jesus who not only brought all of creation into being, but promises to create new heavens and a new earth. A place with a bountiful, welcoming table set for all of us. All of which is true. Along with the fact that this same God has a way of turning that table, turning all tables on our expectations about our relationship with the one who gives us life. God in Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, also has this surprising and sometimes annoying way of letting us know that part of our core identity emerges when we participate with him, join him in his ongoing work of healing and reconciling this hurting world. It's not all on God. We are part of it. What God offers us is the capacity to serve others and to do it brilliantly. What God breathes into our being is the ability and gift of breathing life back into the worn-out lives of neighbors, people who've been sucked dry by the selfishness and meanness that sometimes seems to run way deeper than the Jordan River. So when Jesus rebuffs John's protests and says, no, 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 go ahead, you baptize me, it's sort of a sign of things to come. It's a sign that we should not be so surprised that down the road and confronted with a really big, really, really hungry crowd, the disciples all turn to Jesus wondering what he's going to do about it, only to hear him say, you give them something to eat. And we shouldn't be as surprised as that ostracized Samaritan woman, as surprised as she was when a thirsty Jesus squinted at her through the midday sun at the town well and said, "And you, please give me something to drink." Or we shouldn't be so surprised when we hear the one who pleases God telling us about the way that whole nations will be judged. When we hear him say, whenever you were feeding and you were visiting and you were bandaging the poorest and the most despised people in your neighborhood, guess what? You were loving me. We hear that. We sit there in stunned silence, hearing the sound of tables turning. Let's also remember that we are sitting here as beloved daughters and sons of God. The one who is our servant Savior, the one who stands in deep solidarity with us in that baptism line, the one who allows himself to be fully immersed in the river of everyday life, that one is not going to abandon us just to our own devices when it comes to serving him and serving this world with love. He promises to equip us, all of us, with the resources that we need, especially opening our eyes and ears to the resources that are all around us. Those that are at our disposal, if only we can see and hear with hope and not through the lenses of scarcity and fear. He's going to remind us that our loaves and fishes, entrusted to his grace and to his spirit, will become enough and more than enough for the hungering, for the thirsting ones we might find ourselves walking with on any given day. Many years ago, I was trying to survive for just 24 hours on Atlanta's streets with a group of people who wanted to have a better perspective on what it was like to be homeless. Now, the daytime hours were not too bad. I'll always remember meeting Congressman John Lewis, keep him in prayer too. Meeting John Lewis while some of us sat on a sunny, grassy spot near Georgia State University. We were trying to warm up on a blustery March day. And he spotted us and walked over and greeted us. Didn't know us. He did let us know where the closest soup kitchen was. But then night fell, and so did the temperature. And I'm here to tell you that when you've been exposed all day long, walking around in the wind, hardly sitting down, even when it's 45 degrees outside, it can feel in your bones like minus 10. And so that night we huddled together on the steps of Grady Hospital trying to stay out of the biting wind, trying to catch just a few minutes of sleep. Apparently, we were really tired because I did drift off a little bit. But then all of a sudden, I felt this large piece of something, it turned out to be cardboard, being placed over top of several of us street tourists. I was startled, more than a little scared. I shot up to see what was going on. And what I saw was this homeless man, no tourist, using his own cardboard mat to make my life, to make our lives just a little more comfortable. He was literally tucking us in. After I got over my shock, I asked him why he was doing that. I said, "Look, thank you, but I just don't feel right using your cardboard. I'm only going to be out here one night." He just smiled and said, "God's been keeping me alive all these years out here. Brother, you ain't going to last more than a few hours without some help." And he went on, "I think God helped me see you tonight. We're all in this together." And I drifted back off to the sound of tables turning. Thanks be to God. Amen. One of the ways that Jesus turns to us and says, "I need your help. I need you to work with me is by calling women and men to serve in positions of servant leadership in the church. In the Presbyterian tradition and the Reformed tradition, it is the work of the session to ultimately lead the life together that we have as a congregation. Some months ago, through a season of discernment and prayer, several of you heard a call to serve Covenant Church as elders in our life. You were identified by other members. You were identified, we think, ultimately by the Holy Spirit. And you heard that call and responded with yes. And we are grateful. We are deeply grateful for all who continue to serve on our session now. Their names are listed in the insert in the bulletin. Thank them when you see them. This year, I want to especially offer thanks for those who have completed a term of service over the last 3 years. They are Dennis Kalbos and James Malone and Sandy Whitney and Dick Zemdars. We are deeply grateful for your leadership and service in our midst. Today, I want to call forward Kay Brooks and Brian Strigo, who will be ordained as elders, and also Don Bauer and Tamara Stamm, who have been previously ordained but will be installed today as ruling elders. Let me also invite Luann Rigsby, our incoming clerk of session, to come forward and to help us in posing questions to you. You can come over here. Okay. Yeah, just fan out.
Brian, Tamara, Kay, and Don, I ask you these questions. Do you trust Jesus Christ, your Savior, acknowledge him Lord of all and head of the church, and through him, believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you?
I do.
Do you accept the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be, by the Holy Spirit, the unique and authoritative witness to Jesus Christ and the church universal and God's word to you? Do you?
I do.
Do you sincerely receive and adopt the essential tenets of the Reformed faith as expressed in the confessions of our church as authentic and reliable expositions of what Scripture leads us to believe and do? And will you be instructed and led by those confessions as you lead the people of God? Will you?
I will.
Will you fulfill your office in obedience to Jesus Christ under the authority of Scripture and be continually guided by our confessions? Will you?
Will you be governed by our church's polity? And will you abide by its discipline? Will you be a friend among your colleagues in ministry, working with them, subject to the ordering of God's word and spirit? Will you?
I will.
Will you, in your own life, seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, love your neighbors, and work for the reconciliation of the world? Will you?
Do you promise to further the peace, unity, and purity of the church? Do you?
I do.
Will you seek to serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love? Will you?
I will.
Will you be a faithful elder, watching over the people, providing for their worship, nurture, and service? Will you share in government and discipline, serving in governing bodies of the church, and in your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ? Will you?
I will.
Now, these two questions asked us in the congregation. Do we, the members of the church, accept these people as elders chosen by God through the voice of this congregation
Please join me in our litany. O God, creator of all things visible and invisible, you call us by the voice of the church to serve Jesus Christ.
Your servants, gifted by you with dreams and visions.
Like all others who call you Savior, we are on a pilgrimage, following the one who never stands still. Your way leads us into service. Sometimes it is well trodden, but always, as our way unfolds, we need your light.
Praise and honor be to you, O God, who calls us to service, giving us a story to live and to tell, who pours love and light upon us until the heart sings and the soul dances. Amen. As we prepare for the ancient and blessed ritual of the laying on of hands, I invite any and all who are ordained officers of the church to please come forward and join us. And I would invite Brian and Kay. Let us pray. O come, Holy Spirit, pour out your blessings and your power for love and compassion, your power to walk with and to lift up and encourage. Pour out your gifts upon these, your servants. We pray that you will enfold Kay and Brian, Tamara and Don in your grace, that your light might shine through them, that they might be instruments of your peace. So come, Holy Spirit, come now as we ordain Kay and Brian in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And come, Holy Spirit, as we install Don and Tamara to be servants of your truth in this your church. Come, come, embrace all of us as together in all that we say and do, we will glorify you. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Brian, Kay, Don, and Tamara, you are now ruling elders in the Church of Jesus Christ and for this particular congregation. Be faithful and true in your ministry so that your whole life will bear witness to the crucified and risen Christ. And now I invite you to greet one another in the spirit of the servant Christ as together we sing hymn number 69, I the Lord of Sea and Sky.
Thank you.
Thank you.
have received from the Lord of sea and sky, snow and rain, wind and flame, let us freely give then as we have been blessed. Let us dedicate our gifts with joy and thanksgiving. Everlasting God, thank you that you are the light of the world, guiding our steps on your path. Your word says that the earth is yours and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to you. We recognize everything we have belongs to you. We acknowledge that our very lives belong to you. We now offer back to you a portion of what you have given us. May God the Father prepare our journey, Jesus the Son guide our footsteps, and the Holy Spirit watch over us on every path that we follow. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, amen.
Thank you.
reminder that following the lasagna lunch, as close as we can, the session will meet again as close to 1:30 as possible. If we don't get here at 1:30, breathe. And we'll have the meeting as soon as we can. But let's meet in here in the sanctuary as close to 1:30 as possible. Speaking of the lasagna lunch, I want us to now bless the meal so that we can move in and enjoy it together. Lord God, thank you for the hands that have prepared it. Thank you for your love and grace that has provided it. May we enjoy the fellowship that you give, and may we know you, your presence in the breaking of bread. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And now let us go from this time, this place of worship, out into our neighborhood, out into our city, out into our world, and there, by the grace of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, let's be Christ's church. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.